Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, delivering the goods. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and many other podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, well, TikTok to you. Our two places today are very exotic. One is the Isle of Fuerteventura. They're in the Canary Islands. Fuerteventura means strong fortune or strong wind. And of course, if you're there in the side of Africa, you're probably going to have a strong wind. Our other place is another very exotic location is Casablanca, Morocco. Of course, everybody knows Casablanca from the 19...
We have a listener in Morocco?
Yes, we do.
One.
1944 Best Picture, but Morocco is also known as one of the largest ports there in Africa. Casablanca is also the industrial zone for that country. Giving y'all a round of applause.
Wow, I'm impressed. All right, alcohol is never in short supply here on the back porch. I want to share a little poem I wrote the other day. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. When life's a bitch, a beer is a must. And today, a beer is a must. It's 112 degrees on this freaking back porch right now. An ice cold beer is definitely something that'll help you out. I'm having a Pacifico. I'm a Modelo guy, but you got to switch it up every now and then. Kat, what you got?
I have a lovely strawberry margarita.
All right. It's
very delicioso.
All right, I saw this thing on TikTok, and I'm not on TikTok, or it's a shocker to everybody, or Bookface, or Instagram. None of the socials.
No, social media. I'm the only one in the whole family here that is on social media.
When you get old like me, you get antisocial. You'll see what I mean. As you get older, you'll figure it out. Anyway, this girl is, I don't know, is it okay to say waitress or waiter anymore? Or is it just server? What do you call it?
Wait, you can say waitress.
Okay, all right. So she went over, I don't know what restaurant she was working at, and she videotaped, whatever. Here I go, videotape. That's how old I am.
So, oh, Lord,
she pulls out her phone.
Get out that camcorder,
and
honey.
She records going over to her table to clean the table off after some customers had left. And what she started to notice was that the younger customers, they kind of clean their shit up a little bit before they leave. And again, the story, it caught my eye because Kat and I, we go out, whatever, once or twice a week or whatever. And because I'm kind of a neat freak, right?
It's a disease.
Fucking weirdo. I don't know what you call it. I kind of clean up a little bit. I mean, I'm not wiping the table down.
even at family functions, we were the ones to pick up all the plates and napkins and everything while the rest of the family sat there.
That's because we wanted to hurry up and leave. But anyway, the young lady that dropped this video on TikTok, she showed how like the Gen Zers like didn't leave a total mess, and then showed the tables of the baby boomers, the old dudes and chicks who just threw shit everywhere and didn't give a damn. That was the whole point of her little TikTok video. And really, I'm not surprised. Look, the restaurants, they used to have these things called busboys.
Right.
I don't think they can afford those anymore, or they're not showing up. Shit, the restaurants around here, we're lucky to have enough people to even get the thing open.
And sometimes now they'll double, what do they call, the runners, which are usually the people who bring out the food, also doing the busboy job too.
Yeah, the food service industry's it's kind of in trouble. Nobody wants that gig. But kind of during the summer, though, it's a little uptick because the college punks come home and
it's better and service.
They do a pretty good job because you're always going to do a better job when you know it's short term, right?
Like, right.
I'm only going to be here to pull about 12 checks. So I'm going to smile and act like I give a damn because I'm not a lifer. This is not my chosen profession. I'm in. Give me my money. I'm going back to school. So summertime out here, the restaurant's a little bit better. Now, the fact that the Gen Zers tend to help the wait staff out and tidy up a bit before they leave the restaurant, and the baby boomers, who now are in their, late 60s, 70s,
right?
Leave a fucking mess, is right on par for who the baby boomers are. Two old guys on the back porch, you know, we want to thank the baby boomers for being the a-holes that they are. They actually were the ones that kickstarted this podcast in the first place. I believe
technically, if you looked at our ages, we would be considered baby boomers, but we do not consider ourselves. We are Gen X.
We're just below the Mendoza line.
Right.
Right below the equator. I believe the first podcast Kat sent off the back porch and into the masses was actually about the generation of blue hairs that are out here now riding around in their fucking white crossovers, that's getting in everybody's way with a mean look on their face.
Very entitled.
I mean, the old cats, the generation before the boomers, they were cool, you know. And I understand when you get old, life will start sucking. You got health issues. You got to take care of your elderly parents.
As Tom Brokaw called the previous generation, it was called America's best generation. And they were. They fought World War II.
Right. And that the boomer generation, they fought technology. They didn't want to fuck with that. That went right over their head. So instead of the boomers manning up and taking control of the situation, they're just going to, you know, mope around and take out their anger on anyone that they come in contact with. It's sad, really. The boomers are a sad little selfish generation. I know out here where we live, the boomers, they're all in a big hurry, you know, not polite, just seem to be mad at the world. I don't get it. I mean, why not try to enjoy your golden years? I mean, I tell you what, there's really nothing golden about the boomers. Now, back to the TikTok video of the customers being polite and the baby boomers being pigs.
Let's go back. Probably the baby boomers, their mom is the one who picked up all the plates and stuff.
Wiped their ass.
Yeah, where you and I and whoever, we all tried to pitch in here around here.
Right.
Picking up the plates and stuff.
Right.
And again, there's no kingdom around here.
Look, when you're in a restaurant, and unless it's like Chili's, and if you go in there, you already sealed your fate anyway. If you got shitty service and shitty food, which is probably, you know, that pretty much describes Chili's. But then screw it. But if you had a good meal, the wait staff was nice.
Right.
You know, again, I'm not saying wipe the whole table down, but just maybe like put the knives and forks you used on the plate, clean up a little bit, you know, so when they come by the table, it's easier on them.
Right.
Kat watches me because I'm a weirdo. And I do it so all they have to do what is just grab a couple plates and they're out.
Right.
You know, that's it. I don't know. You know, I never worked in the food service industry, which is probably a good thing. That would have lasted about, 2 minutes?
3 tops.
Here's a little side story. Okay. Going out to eat these days, and I know this is going to sound like old guy bitching on the back porch, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. These places where you walk up and you place your order and they give you a cup, you go over to the fountain drink machine, get your own drink. Lately, the product that's coming out of these fountain drink machines.
Oh my God.
They taste like shit. And again, here's a weird thing. My mom, love my mom. I got the best mom in the world. She started bitching about this like a couple years ago.
Like the drinks at Wendy's taste like hell. Man, we went to Hardee's and I never paid no attention to it because I don't go to Wendy's and I don't go to Hardee's. But me and Kat go out every once in a while and they're putting these places out here where basically you just wait on yourself. And there's something missing. There's some kind of balance between the water, the syrup, the carbonation. Something's off.
There needs to be a quality control. I mean, back in my day, I used to like help out at the little stand just down the road here at the community center. And you would have to, there would be like a syrup and that had to go in. And then was a separate part that was the soda water. And they all had to call combined there into the drink.
Right.
Well, sometimes you got to check the quality control because you have something's running out of syrup or something's wrong with the soda part.
Well, again, you have people working in these places where they don't give a damn.
Right.
They don't want to be there anyway.
Nobody's quality controlling.
They
that.
Just throw the shit in there and hit the on button
right.
and then go back over and start cooking the chicken or whatever they got to do. And nobody like, let's run some through the cup there or through the machine and see if it's you can stand it.
Honestly, the best bet nowadays is the iced tea or the lemonade.
Yeah.
You can't screw that up. It's so much.
Yeah. I don't know. A red flag for these things is when you walk over to the fountain machine and it says Diet Coke out of order. Or there's like two or three of them that they don't even have. That's usually you're in trouble. And it's not that the establishment, it's not that they're out of that product.
No.
That makes these things kind of nasty. It's actually the nozzles where the drink comes out that are just gunked up. Because the place, they don't clean the shit. They don't clean the drink machine properly.
Probably the most they do every day is take the humongous thing of ice and dump it on the top that goes down
right.
and feeds down. But if you get there too early, sometimes they haven't even put the ice down into the machine.
Right. I don't know. I'm on this kick now where I'm avoiding the fountain drink machine. I always try to see if they offer like a can or a bottle somewhere because I don't want the shit.
Okay. At your Peruvian chicken place, how did you get your drink today?
I got a bottle Coke. Because and I love the Peruvian chicken place. It's awesome. But, and I'm not, I don't know. I saw this story where an actual bartender said, when he goes out, he'll never order a draft beer. Now, this is a bartender, and everybody knows draft beer is way better than anything out of a bottle or a can because it's out of a keg. It's supposed to be fresh.
Right.
And the reason the dude said, this is a bartender who works in a bar, because he knows what those nozzles look like, where the shit comes
right.
out. He said they're all green and black and shit because nobody cleans it, and he knows how disgusting it is, and so he won't even drink it. So if the bartender says no, I say no. But, you know, fountain drinks, some of the places we go, they're not bad. They're not bad. But, you know, if you're going to Burger King or Taco Bell or KFC or shit, you know, they just hand you this shitty fucking cup through the drive-thru window. That's on you. You went there to start with. And again, I just brought this up. I just keep noticing that the drinks we get at different places, even at Chipotle. Chipotle used to be great. The food and the drink. And now it's just,
well,
I don't
see
know why.
What
I love
what
the place.
I get there, I usually just get the juice thing that's
yeah.
there to the side versus what's coming out of the taps there.
It's, and see, it's a bad look for Pepsi, Coke, Mountain Dew, and it's not their fault. You know, the big brands, it's just the people working there.
Their product is being adulterated.
Anyway, same old song and dance lately. People working in the food service industry really don't give a shit. So there we go. Hopefully in your neck of the woods, it's all good where the restaurants and the restaurant workers actually care about what they do. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. It's One Tough Awesome Lady.
Awesome Lady.
It's Harriet Beecher Stowe. Born in 1811 from Litchfield, Connecticut. Harriet is famous for writing many books, but the one that put her on the map is Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was a song by, was it like Warrant or something?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I take that back. It's actually, that's a pretty good song, though. The book Uncle Tom's Cabin came out in 1852 when slavery was at full bore. The lead character was inspired by a man named Joshua Henson, who escaped slavery with his wife and children. Uncle Tom's Cabin sold 300,000 copies in 1855.
Right. And Harriet had like, her main place she lived in were like the Northeast, like Maine. So somehow or another, she ended up in Kentucky and saw, she saw a mother being separated from her child and being put on the auction block.
Yeah.
You know, it's from personal experience. And Harriet wrote because the family needed money. Her husband was a professor. She pretty much wrote all of her life. And Uncle Tom's Cabin was a pivotal point of abolition. It's a reason why the book sold so much, because a lot of people who didn't live in a slave state didn't know the exact problems that went on with slavery.
Well, that book, it pissed off those that were for slavery.
Right.
And it opened the eyes of many who knew enslaving another human was just wrong.
Right.
On every level. Uncle Tom's Cabin, it didn't start the Civil War, but it did influence anyone who read it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Even the president, Abraham Lincoln, whom Harriet met with just before the Civil War, broke out.
And her family was part of the Underground Railroad. They did hide people there in Cincinnati, Ohio.
And let's remember, Harriet Beecher Stowe was a white woman.
Right.
Okay. And writing about slavery at a time when there was a great amount of tension across this nation concerning slavery, Harriet and her husband supported the Underground Railroad and housed fugitive enslaved people in their home as they tried to escape north.
She did other things after the Civil War was done. She was very much for women's rights. She was thinking, well, married women, you know, I'm no better than a slave because I can't own any property. She created an integrated school there in Mandarin, Florida. She also wrote a tourism guide for Florida, believe it or not.
And that makes Harriet Beecher Stowe One Tough Awesome Lady. All right. Are we still watching stuff yet?
We're still watching stuff. You didn't want to watch this with me, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. There was a little docuseries that kind of give you a little taste right here before the Olympics come. It was called Sprint. It's about the fastest human beings on this earth. It was ranked 6th, the most watched shows there on Netflix. It's great because you got to see, I like sports documentaries. I like sports documentaries that let me find out about the people that the stories behind. And this was great because you got to see some of the top athletes in the world. Shachar Richardson, Noah Lyles, Marcel Jacobs, Sharika Jackson. You kind of got to see how training goes here in the United States. And also training goes there in Jamaica, we're usually up against for the fastest human being, correct?
Bolt.
Bolt is, of course, is retired. We got interviews with him.
Did Bolt have any kids?
I'm not sure.
Bring up a new little Bolt, Lightning.
I don't know if there's a little Bolt running around there in Jamaica, but
probably a few.
Of course, he said during the whole documentary, well, you know, that's great that they're trying to run that fast, but I'm going to keep my world records.
So, they're coming for you, bro.
They're coming. But I mean, there's records that they talked about. FloJo still has.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, there are records that may never be broken. But it was great kind of seeing in the best, you know, it's not a track and field's not that big in this country. You go to Europe, it's a big freaking deal.
Well, the other thing is, and I hate to bring this up, Debbie Downer, but it was so much juicing going on.
That's true.
And which screwed baseball, got screwed because of that shit. And I'm sure it was in other sports too. But track and field, really. And some of them that got popped swore up and down they didn't do that stuff.
Anyway, you get to see some of the world's best, fastest human beings and what we call the Wanda Diamond League and the Continental Tour there in Europe. And it's you're seeing different meets and stuff. Who's better on this one? Who's, you know, these people fill up a 50,000.
To watch somebody run a 400 or a 200.
They will fill up a Wimbledon Stadium just to watch track and field. And it's great for them. They have, you know, they've created a profession through this league.
Well, good for them. They can make money for busting their ass.
You get to see some of the 2023 season, which gives you a kind of a preview of what we're going to expect for the Olympics coming up later this month. Anyway, I give it a recommendation. Sprint amassed a $2.5 million views the first week. It was in the top 10 worldwide. I would recommend if you want a little taste right here before the Olympics. It's a great show to watch. You know, if nothing else, to see the different personalities of these runners and different...
what they went through to get there.
Right. One of, I mean, Noah Lyles had asthma as a child. And you can't even think about that as having severe asthma as a child and becoming a runner.
It's unreal. About your lungs pumping oxygen.
Kat Johnson's going to recommend it. It's a great watch.
And it's on?
It's on Netflix.
All right. Okay. I'm so tired from running. I need a shot. What do we got?
This is the watermelon tequila shot. It's watermelon juice. I doubled up the watermelon juice just to, because you and I are not.
On a personal note, I can't think of two things I hate worse than watermelon and tequila. And
anyway, so we mixed it. It's watermelon juice, tequila, and watermelon vodka, and a little sea salt.
Oh, boy. Here you go. Cheers, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bitter? I don't know what to call it.
It's a fight.
You gave it a try.
I gave it a try.
I think you did it right. It's called the what?
Watermelon tequila shot.
If you like watermelon and tequila.
Or you like tequila shots, you want some watermelon with it. I don't know.
It'll work. All right. Thank you, babe.
You're welcome.
All right. Band of the week. This week we were bumpered in with the Japanese House, formed in 2012 from Watford, England. The Japanese House is actually 28-year-old Amber Bain. Amber has made some pretty good friends since starting her musical journey. Matt Healy of the 1975s helped Amber in the studio. The Japanese House has toured with the 1975 and Wolf Alice, two of my favorite bands. Amber came out of the gate with a few EPs before releasing her first album called Good at Falling. And it's a good record. I listened to it a few more EPs. And then the second album, In the End, It Always Does.
Can you categorize Amber's work?
You know, I like that she does different stuff. There's like a full band, the bass, guitar, everything's coming in, and then she'll like play acoustic, and it's back. I hate to put it in the boy genius category,
right?
But it's
right.
A little bit like that. And I'm not nothing against boy genius. I love them, but it's in that vein. The song we were bumpered in with today was just released like a month or two ago,
right? If you want to hear Amber and the rest of the Japanese House, they will be coming to Columbia, Maryland at the Meriwether Post Pavilion September 29th.
Cool. Definitely go. Yeah, the song Smiley Face, right?
Right.
And then what we played. It's kind of cool, breezy, cool song. Amber Bain, she chose the name Japanese House because she's a little shy, secretive, didn't want to reveal her name or her gender. Amber's, androgynous?
I'm a sexual spectrum.
I think she's very talented and has slowly built up a great catalog, and she definitely has a following. So check out the Japanese House wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch, and we will see y'all down the road.
See ya. Brenda.